Yeah. Yeah. Thank you guys so much, worship team, for leading us this morning. Thank you guys so much for coming. You know, we have weather like this. It's just going to be us in the room. You know, you never know who's going to come. And man, this is a great crowd for the eve of what is apparently difficult. And so man, I'm fired up to see you today. This is amazing, right? It's awesome to have you tonight. You're here for the very first time. We've got a free gift for every first time guest. It's bread and milk. And so, John just led us in prayer. I'm going to lead us in prayer this morning. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Spirit of God, we come to you right now. And God, at the beginning of who knows what this week's going to look like. Maybe probably a lot of people are thinking about the weather or maybe something on their plate, meeting at school or just whatever. God, we just choose to pause right now. We come today. Because, God, we are making a choice to worship. God, none of us are perfect. We're not saying we have our acts together. But, Jesus, we are declaring this morning that you save sinners. That you came for people who are broken, hurting, feel abandoned, messed up, got past, got present. And Jesus, just imperfect people are the only people that you love, that you save. And so, Jesus, we are those people. We are your people. So God, we choose to worship you today. So God, I pray right now you would cleanse our hearts. God, search us, just like David said in the song. God, search our hearts. And God, if there's any unclean way inside us, just reveal it. We just hold that before you. Pray for forgiveness this morning. And God, we pray that you would help us to hear. Would you say that to God this morning? God, help me to hear you. God, I don't need anything to say that can raise the dead or open blind eyes, but that's all that you do. And so, God, I pray that you would do it only you. You would do it for every single one of us here. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Does anybody know what happens in 296 days? In 296 days, the presidential election happens. And so we are in an election year. And one of the things that you'll hear all year long, especially, you know, I mean, even tomorrow, Iowa caucuses and things like that, you know, and just as you get deeper into the year, all along, here's going to be your 2024. Politicians, candidates are going to stand in front of us, and they are going to diagnose what is wrong with the world. And they are going to put themselves forward as a part of the solution. And this is not a political sermon at all, but I think it's very interesting that one of the things that we're going to hear over and over this year is, this is what's wrong with the world. Let me ask you a question this morning. What do you think is wrong with the world? Now, we're in church, and so the church answer is sin. That's what you're supposed to say in church. And here's what I want to say back to you. I want to say back to us that if we would say, hey, what's wrong with the world is sin. Okay, that's fine. To a certain degree, that's right. But where we're going to go this morning is below the answer of sin is something deeper and I think more accurate. For what is wrong with the world? We're in a series called The Depths, and what we're doing is we're talking about the depths of our hearts. This series is really about how to build resilient faith. And you and I can't build resilient faith unless we really dive into what the Apostle Paul is going to say to us this morning. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and open it up, turn it on, to Romans chapter 1, okay? Now, these verses are going to be on the screen, because we always put the verses on the screen. But here's the deal. We are really going to try to dive into some things this morning in Romans 1. We're going to come back to it throughout the sermon. So just because I read it right here, that you check the Bible, turn the Bible app off, all right? Especially at the end, we're going to come back and look at something. So Romans 1, 18 to 23 is where we are this morning. So let's open it up, let's read it, and if you don't have anything at all, like no Bible at all, or whatever, the words are going to be on the screen. Here we go, Romans 1, chapter 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, 23. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood for what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Watch verse 23. This is key. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. So this might not make any sense to us at the beginning, so let's just kind of build up the context here. This is the Apostle Paul in what most people think is his most powerful letter. I mean, all the books of the Bible are inspired by God, and they all matter. But there is just something special and kind of in a class by itself when you look at the book of Romans. The book of Romans is about the gospel, how humanity sinned and Jesus came to save us. And Paul just really goes as far as he can try to go, just inspired by the Holy Spirit, to really unpack all of the implications of the gospel. And so Paul, right here in Romans 1, Paul's talking about the fallout from humanity's decision to turn away from God. So when humanity said, no, God, we don't want your way, we want our way, but we chose sin rather than God's way, Paul's talking about the fallout. Here's what happened as a result of sin. And one of the things that Paul says here is God has revealed himself to every single person in the world. God has, in the words of the Apostle Paul, verse 19, God's made it plain to everyone. So God has revealed himself, Paul says, to every single person in the world in a couple of different ways. One, God's revealed himself to us in the fact that every single person has a conscience. Every single person has at least a concept, take with me, of right and wrong. Now, we might all define right and wrong in different ways. You might define right and wrong different from somebody that's in the furthest tribe, in the most remote area of the planet. But just the fact that every single person has an idea of, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. Paul says, listen, where does that come from? And Paul's answer is, we're made in the image of God. That's written on your heart. God's revealed himself in nature. Look at just the way things are made, the complexity of the universe. But nobody really looks at a tree and their automatic response is to fall down and give God glory. The automatic response because of sin is exactly what Paul says. Because of sin, we've chosen our own way. And Paul says in Romans 1, we actually, what he calls, suppress the truth. Hey, we think there might be a God. Surely there's more to life than paying bills and going on vacations. And I've got the sense of right and wrong and blah, blah, blah. But instead of chasing that, does that mean there's a God in the universe? Suppressing the truth means, nah, man, I'm just going to ignore that. I'm going to do what feels right. I'm going to follow my heart. I'm going to do me, live for myself. And Paul says, this is the kicker, verse 23, so I hope you still have your Bible open. Paul says, so where that leads to is in verse 23, and they exchange the glory of the immortal God for an image. So just stop right there. This is the Apostle Paul saying to us, hey, listen, do you want to know what is wrong with the world? Paul says the fundamental problem with the world today is that humanity is, instead of giving glory to God, we exchange the glory that God deserves and give that glory to something that God made. And there's a word for that, and that word is idolatry. What is idolatry? Here's the definition for you. Idolatry is giving the worship and glory that only God deserves to something or someone else. And Paul says that. That instead of worshiping God, we choose to give glory and worship to other things. And Paul says idolatry is the biggest problem. And it's been the biggest problem since the day. And that is crazy in 2024, right? No candidate is going to stand up and tell us that the problem with the world is idolatry. You're not hearing that on Fox News and MSNBC. They're not going to tell you that on the 6 o'clock news or anything like that. That the biggest problem in the world is idolatry. You might hear that and think, this is crazy. We came out of the blizzard for this? I got to buy milk and bread, bro. And you're talking about idolatry? I got a lot of problems, but idolatry is not one. Three things Listen, you got to know about idolatry this morning. If you're taking notes, you can write these three things down, okay? We're going to go through all of them pretty fast, but spend the majority of our time in the middle with number two. Number one, idolatry starts in the heart. First thing we're talking about this morning, if we're really going to understand what is Paul talking about, that we exchange the glory of God, give that glory to something else, that's idolatry. Idolatry starts in the heart. Now here's the problem. The problem for a lot of us, when we think about idolatry, already some of us, we have in our mind this image of somebody that's like bowing down in front of this like little statue, Buddha rubbing his belly or something like that. That's what idolatry is. And listen, that happens. But that is not even on Paul's radar. What Paul is talking about is almost like oxygen. Like it's just everywhere. It's so normal. You just breathe in. You know. Like you hardly even notice it. Here's the thing. You hardly notice it in others. And it's extremely difficult to notice. All right? So the reason idolatry starts in the heart is because of this. Here's this. Idolatry comes down to what we love. The reason that idolatry starts in your heart is because idolatry comes down to what we love. How many people have heard the phrase, I think, therefore, you make attention? I am. How many people have heard that before? I think, therefore, I am. Okay, several of you have. The fundamental idea behind that, big idea behind that phrase, I think, therefore, I am, is that first and foremost, human beings are thinkers. That's what that means. That human beings, me, you, all of us this morning, that essentially, all of us, we're brains on a stick. That the first and foremost thing about us is that we're thinkers. But that's not what Paul says. Look at this quote that's on the screen here. This is from a philosopher named James Smith. I love this. He says, what if, instead of starting from the assumption that human beings are thinking things, we started from the conviction that human beings are first and foremost lovers? What if you are defined not by what you know, but by what you desire? What if the center and seat of the human person is found not in the heady regions of the intellect, but in the gut-level regions of the heart? Here's what this means. It means that before anything else, we are worshipers. Before anything else, we're worshipers. We can't help but give glory to things. I mean, you and me, Christian or not, no matter where you are on the spiritual spectrum, all we do is give glory to things. All we do is celebrate things. We're made for worship. All we do is love things and lift it up. So we love our families. We love our hobbies. We love our vacations. We love our teams. And listen to me. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But can I tell you, listen to me this morning. None of those things are God. None of those things are God. This is why when Jesus is asked, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the law? What's he saying? He tells me. You know, Jesus does not say, greatest commandment in the law, be bad. Jesus does not say, greatest commandment in the law, don't mess up. What's he say? Greatest commandment in the law is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor and yourself. Here's what this means. It means this whole thing comes down to love. Christianity, this whole thing comes down to love. And idolatry starts in our hearts. We're talking about what we love this morning. Idolatry starts in the heart, but messed up hearts lead to messed up lives. And that takes us right into number two. We're going to spend the majority of our time here. Idols are usually good things that become God things. So idols start in the heart. We're talking about what you love, what you live for, your passions, what rules your heart. But the thing you need to know about idols more than anything else, what Paul is talking about here in Romans 1, is that idols are usually good things that turn into God things. John Tyson's a pastor in New York City, and he's very helpful here. He says there are two categories for idols. And the first category are what he calls heart idols. Heart idols are things that we elevate to pseudo-divinity in our heart. Things we put in front of God in our values, affections, and minds. So if we go back to last week, now if you missed last week, you can find it on the podcast, you can find it on YouTube, Facebook, all of the things. But if you go back to last week and you look at the three levels of the heart that we talked about, go to the next slide, Parker, if we can. You look at the three levels of the heart. The first level of the heart we talked about last week is the shallows, right? It's distractions, it's surface level conversation. We could spend a lot of our lives in the shallows on Netflix and the game and things like that. Nothing wrong with that,
But your heart is deeper than the shallows. Below the shallows is the level of the heart called the midlands. And the midlands we saw last week are the worries, or Jesus called them the anxieties of life. So here we're talking about, are my kids going to be okay? Am I going to be able to pay my bills? How are my relationships going to be? Is this job going to be secure? Am I going to get into that kind of school? Are we going to be okay? The midlands are things that we are convinced we need. That we need a certain kind of family. We need a certain kind of lifestyle. If we don't get these things, we can't even go on. We don't even want to live. And below the midlands is what we saw last week, is known as the depths. And the depths are the inner self. In the depths are why we do what we do, our motivations, our fears, hopes, and joys. And here's the thing, keep it on the screen. The depths, that inner self, the motivations that you've got, why you do what you do, your fears and your joys, the depths can get tangled up with the midlands. Man, and they can get so entangled that you can't even begin to separate. So the depth desire of safety and security can get attached to money. And all of a sudden, money, a certain amount of money, having a certain kind of money in the bank, having a certain level of 401k, we feel safe and secure if we have this level of money. And listen, money in and of itself is not bad. It's not evil. But we can attach to money God-like qualities, and we begin to look to money to give us what only God can give us. And if we're not careful, that desire for safety can get strapped to money, and all of a sudden, money becomes an idol. Man, you can make an idol out of all kinds of different things. You can make an idol out of your kids. Hello? You can make an idol out of your job. You can make an idol out of your spouse. You can make an idol out of the need of a spouse. You can make an idol out of the need to have kids. You can make an idol out of trying to get to a certain kind of school. You can make an idol out of trying to get a certain kind of wife. A lot of times the idols that we have in our lives, watch this one, are things that we think that we need, or things that somewhere along the way we become convinced God owes us. And if we don't get it, we become disillusioned because we think that God owes us something that he actually never promises. And a lot of people abandon the faith. Why? Because God did not give them the idol that they were really worshiping. Look what Tim Keller says. He's helpful here. He says, we think that idols are bad things. That's almost never the case. The greater the good, watch this, and check this out. The greater the good, the more likely you are to expect that it can satisfy our deepest needs and hopes. Anything can serve as a counterfeit God, especially the very best things in life. So let's just stop right here. Let me ask you a question. Are there any good things in your life that have become God? Are there any good things in your life that have become God? Second level of idols that John Tyson talks about are called cultural idols. What are cultural idols? These are things that the world values that seize our affection and devotion. Probably the biggest idol in America or in the world, especially the Western world, probably the biggest idol is the idol of self. The idol of self, that you do you, follow your own heart. Stop me if you've heard these before. You're the master of your own destiny. You have your own truth. And here's the deal, Christians, we need to watch out because, man, we just breathe this air. We just live in this world that elevates self. You do you. If it feels good, do it. We've got to watch out to make sure that we don't bring the idol of self into our relationship with Jesus and then think it's Jesus' job to give us whatever we're really after. Man, listen, in 2024, election year, power is an idol. Hello? Hello, man, I don't admit it. Let's do it again. Power is an idol. Man, you better watch what the right and the left try to do with power. Man, you can, listen, power in the hands of a narcissistic self-worshipper is dangerous. You better watch out for it, man. You better not put your training up to somebody that is bowing down to the idol of power. Sex is an idol. So hook up with who you want to, change your gender, you do this. Why? Because we are the masters of our own fate. We are the designers of our own destiny. Here's this, I'm not going to write this down. We live in a world that wants to completely take God out of the picture. And when you do that, all you do is make something else God in his place. Remember, we're worshipers. Oh, we're going to take God out of the picture. Watch what happens.
because you'll build another kingdom.
Right? Israelites go to Aaron, and hey, man, where's Moses? Been up on this mountain for 40 days. I don't know, what y'all want to do? Build us something to worship. And all of a sudden, they bring all the gold, and they make this, you know the story, right? They make the goat and calf. Charlton Heston comes down the mountain and says, Aaron, what have you done? And I love Aaron. I love Aaron's response. He said, man, I don't know these people. They said they needed something to worship. They gave me all the gold, and all of a sudden, out popped this idol. It's crazy down here, man. You should have seen it. Right? Here's the thing. If we don't worship God, what will we do? We'll place it in something else.
You can't help it. I can't help it. Listen, if we worship, if we give worship that should go to God to something else, whatever that thing is, it will crush us, or we will crush it, because only God can handle the weight of glory.
Man, kids are great, but can I just tell y'all something? Kids make a loud child. Amen? Praise the Lord. No, listen, they really do. I know it sounds funny, but I'm not trying to be funny at all. Listen, listen to, look at me. Your children cannot handle the weight of glory. Because you will crush them with your expectations, or they will crush you when they leave your house and build a life without you. I'm telling you, man, look at me. Your job can't handle the weight of glory. If you give your entire life to your job, you're never home, your kids can't see you because you put money in the account. And you're living for that job. You're bowing down to that job. Listen to me. The second you leave that job, they'll have your position posted online trying to do it. And hello, praise the Lord. That's right. Listen to me. Your pleasures and desires cannot handle the weight of glory. So just going to the next high, the next hookup, the next thrill, can't handle it because look at me. It will never be enough. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. John ends the letter of 1 John. This is the last verse in 1 John. Look at me. It's on the screen. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. And idols can lie to you, they can hurt you, they can destroy you with other people. So what do we do? Here's the way out. Number three, what do we do? The way out of idolatry is worship. The way out of idolatry is worship. See, over and over, Paul in Romans 1 says we give glory to created things instead of the one who created all things, the God of the universe. This whole thing comes down to what you love. This whole thing comes down to what we worship. And here it is, like I said at the beginning, I hope you see that in your Bible. Look back at verse 18. Look again at verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. We're talking about the wrath of God here this morning. What Paul's talking about. And a lot of times, we think that the wrath of God is fire coming down from the sky and all kinds of like crazy apocalyptic judgments, and it can be. But can I just tell you, that's not usually the way for that. You know how the wrath of God usually works? You got your Bible, we didn't read it. Look at verse 24. So 23, we exchange the glory of God and give something else. Look at verse 24. This is on the screen. Therefore, God gave them over to their sin. See that? That's the God. What's that mean? Instead of worshiping God, we worship other things. No, God, this is better than me. No, God, this is the way. No, God, that is. And God says this. Can I just say something? Listen, sometimes the worst thing that God can ever do is give you what you think you need. Hello? Sometimes people will walk up to me and they'll say, Mark, you're a pastor. What do you do when it's not Sunday? Can I say, that is not an encouraging question at all. That has never lifted my spirits, man. But do you want to know what I do usually when it's not Sunday? Usually, a lot of times people reach out to me and say, hey, come to Paul. And I'll meet with people. And then my life is filled with story after story of somebody looking at me saying, I thought this would make me happy, and I am happier than I ever did. I went after this, and I thought this would make everything better, but that destroyed everything. Can I just tell you, sometimes the worst thing about me is give you exactly what you can in your life. Because we're secretly pouring our lives into something else other than Him.
This is why the way out of idolatry is worship.
If the problem is worshiping the wrong things, the solution is worshiping the right person, not them. If the problem is worshiping the wrong thing, then the solution to the problem is worshiping the right person. And so the way out of idolatry is worship. Now, here's the deal. We got to talk about this. What do we mean by worship? Because I think a lot of us think, oh, he's talking about sin. I ain't talking about sin at all. I'm talking about sin maybe a little bit, but that's not even mostly on the radar of what we're talking about. Worship Summit is you and I choosing to set our hearts on Jesus. Worship is saying, God, we love you today. Jesus, we love you. Spirit, we love you. Worship is saying, God, you are worthy of worship, even though everything down here still looks like a dumpster fire. God, you are still good, even though nothing I'm in makes sense or feels right. God, I choose to worship and set my heart on you today. Listen, that is worship. Here's the deal. You can show up every single week here. You can sing all of the songs. You can sing the songs and say the words, but you never bring your heart into it. Listen, sometimes worship is singing, but can I just tell you, worship is a thousand other things. Worship is choosing to give thanks when everything in your life is falling apart. You can worship in line at the grocery store. You can worship at home when you're washing the dishes, when you're changing diapers, when you're at practice. Worship isn't something that you do 1 hour a week. Worship genuinely is a lifestyle. We need to cultivate it into a lifestyle. In fact, next week we're going to talk about how do you shape your heart. So if these things can get into the depths of our hearts, man, they can shape our hearts and we can turn away from God, lose our faith. How do we intentionally shape our hearts, like on purpose? That's next week. But let me just say today, for right now, listen, gathering together as the church each week helps us to get our loves right. You have no idea how much I fought with auto connect this morning trying to write that sentence, because it wanted to change loves for lives. And I was about to call everybody in the room and say, I'm doing it right. I promise I'm going to write that. Because your loves and your lives that are interconnected. Your loves and your lives are interconnected. If you can get worship right, just if you can set your heart on the right things, then you would be stunned the power that it has in your life. Gathering together as the church each week has the power to get our loves right. This is why worshiping together in person, the way that we're doing right now, can I just tell you, it matters. And it doesn't matter because I'm a pastor and I want people to come and hear my sermons. That's nothing to do with it. It matters because every single week, every 7 days, you get up, you get ready, if you're coming, and you show up for worship, whether you feel like it or not, the cumulative effect of that on your heart over time is that you are becoming a certain kind of person. Amen? Just being here today is doing something to your heart. I don't feel anything. Look at you. But you're sending a signal to your own body, to yourself. This is what we do because this is who we are. We are. Amen? So just being here is making you into something. Here's this. Watch this. Check this out. Worship has the power to transform our hearts. And that's not hype. That's not hyperbole. That's not like anything Christian spirit. Worship has the power to transform our heart. Worship has the ability to bring us into the presence of God. We are accessing a power that's not our own. We are choosing to set our hearts on things. And so today, what we're going to do right now, we're in our time of response. Our time of response will be different today. We're not going to bow our heads. We're not going to close our eyes. We're not going to raise our hands to anything unless you want to. Because today, the response time is worship. The worship team's going to come back up here, and they're going to lead us in a song that we sang earlier. They're going to lead us in a part of the song that we sang at the end of our life. He said, "You are holy." And the reason they're going to sing this is because holiness means that God is unlike anything else. Holiness literally means that God is separate. And so when you worship, what we're saying when we say, "God, you are holy," we are saying, "God, you are separate from everything else in my life." And so listen, I want to challenge you today, right here in this time of worship, I want to challenge you to set your heart on Jesus and choose to worship. Man, I know that a lot of you, you're walking in for maybe just a devastating week. You're walking out there and you just dread what's coming at you this week. But could you take 45 seconds? Could you take 5 minutes and intentionally look away from the things of the world and fix your eyes on Jesus and choose to worship? You might even want to lift up your hands today when you worship. Do you know that lifting up your hands doesn't mean that you're like more spiritual than anybody else? The Bible talks about stirring up your own spirit. It's one of the ways to stir up your own spirit. You can lift your hands this morning and say, God, I'm choosing to say you are holy. And so this morning, we're just going to choose together, ask the people of God to declare right here, our response is, God, you're good today. God, we love you today. God, we still want to worship you today. We're not even going to wait to see how 2024 goes. We are choosing to stand as the people of God and say, God, there is nothing like you because you're humble. So will you stand with me this morning? And we're going to sing and they're going to lead us. Let's just declare as God's people that God is holy today. You guys lead us. Go ahead.
Seated on his throne, he was clothed in glory, and exalted high. And the train of fill the temple, angels circle round him and cry.
You are.
Father, we come to you this morning and we declare you are holy.
Just say that to God this morning. You say it in your spirit. You can say it out loud. Lord, you are holy today. Lord, you are holy. You're good. God, you're faithful. And God, we give you worship today. God, we don't want to exchange the weight of glory and give it to a created thing. God, thank you for all the good things that we have in our lives, but all the good things are just a reflection of how great you are. And so, God, right now, in this moment, we are choosing to give you glory today. To say that we want to worship, we want to love you, we want to be people, and homes, and families, and the church. That, God, you are set apart. There is nothing like you. We surrender to you today. So, God, as we end this service, God, the worship doesn't end. The worship doesn't end today when the service ends because, God, we are bringing our hearts with us everywhere we go. So God, I pray that this week you would just remind us in unexpected ways. God, break into our lives and remind us we're loved, we're chosen, we're your sons, we're your daughters. You'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. That everything that Jesus has bought for us is ours through his sacrifice. That all of his promises are true. God, we give you glory today. And I pray, God, that you would just build us into people. Not just on Sundays for an hour. God, build us into people of worship. Just have a deeper and greater awareness of your presence and your love in our lives. Father, we love you. We praise you today. God, as we move into a time of receiving our offering, it is worship. We give because we love you. We give because we ultimately trust you. We give because, Jesus, we believe your promises that you say that you are the greatest treasure, that you can take what's given and make multiply heavens. God, we give because we worship. We love you. And so, God, I pray that you would take what's given here or online, and God, you would just raise up more worship. God, the people would meet you, children, teenagers, men, women, all over the world, right here in Hazard and all over. You would take what's given, raise up worship from. Father, we love you. We give you glory this morning. We ask all this in the strong and the beautiful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, someone, would you go ahead and grab a seat? I know a couple of you have been asked to help us receive our offering. You can go ahead and do that. Yeah, don't you bring it with it. If you've been asked to help us receive the offering, you can go ahead and get in place for that. Excuse me. And as they're doing that, you can grab your connection card. Let us know how God is working in your life, any decision that you've made, or anybody who can pray for you. You can drop those connection cards in the baskets, take them to the welcome area. After this service, if you miss the baskets, if you've got any questions, we can help you. Listen, we would love to pray for you today. Hey, we've already prayed for our offering, so you men and women can go ahead and begin to receive it. Joey is going to come. Joey's got John's mic there. And Joey's going to share with us again about Night for Shine. He's got a really important thing that he's going to talk to us about happening next Sunday. So give me a full picture for him.
Morning, guys. Most of you know we've got Night for Shine coming up real soon. We talked about it a little last week. If you weren't here and you don't know what Night of Shine is, it's an awesome, awesome night centered around special needs folks. So we need as many volunteers as we need. It's February the 9th. It's the night of prom. At 6 o'clock, it's going to be right here. We don't want to go down here in February. It's cold outside. So we need you to come here. We need as many volunteers as we need. Come hang out, come dance, we need servers, we need people cleaning, we need a lot of help. So if you want to volunteer, you can sign up out of the desk. There's a sign up sheet out there. If you have more questions, you can talk to me or Sandra. But next Sunday, you get the following service. We'll have a volunteer meeting right here in the sanctuary. So I got you guys to love you this piece of peace.